You know, the fun part of all that is when they came and did the filming, you know, the kids went nuts. They didn't know how big a deal it was, and they were all fighting and clamoring. And we had a lot of models that really, really wanted to represent the ranch. And so we had kids fighting and clawing, scratching, trying to be in. So they had to cut about 99% of the thing out because they're just like your kids. They love to be the center of attention. The kids you just saw are no different. They are not one bit different from your sons and daughters except for one thing. One thing only. Your kids got you. Our kids' parents didn't want the job. There's men in here right now that are far more successful than I am. But you know what? Success really boils down to three questions. Just three. Now, those of you who have ever heard me speak before know that I always start with three or four jokes and just get everybody relaxed. But you know, I was sitting in the truck and was getting ready to come in. That's not what I'm supposed to do today. Today, I want to talk to you as another man. You and me as men. I'm in the upper, older group. We've now raised 1,900 children. I've hit every pothole you can hit as a man, and a husband, and a father. But there's got to come that day where you realize, hey, I ain't all I'm cracked up to be. I'm wearing that, hey, we got that Dale Carnegie smile going on. That I'm a Christian, I'm walking. I got up at 7 o'clock and went and listened to this fool talk at Canterbury. I mean, you know, we do all those little punch card things because that's how we're trained to be. But you've got to answer three questions. Who are you? What are you? And why are you on this earth? That's it. I can take a delete button and I can destroy your whole financial world. Obama's trying to. I can take and go talk to your boss, board directors, manager, CEO, whatever, and we can replace you. But that little boy that calls you dad, you're his hero. Don't act like a fool. Do you know what, men? Your daughter will pick her husband based upon the relationship she has with you. She married a fool, go look in the mirror. Well, you just don't. Yeah, I do. I raised 1,900 kids. I got the general idea. Right now, we have 33 kids with driver's license and learner's permits. I pray for you every day because you're on the road with them. They can't drive worth a snot. But here's what happens. Big Oak Ranch exists to break the cycle. We want to break the cycle of abuse, neglect, and abandonment. We take children 6 to 18, orphan, abused, neglected, homeless. We don't take juvenile delinquents. We don't take spoiled brats. You would be amazed at the number of kids we have got living with us that came from Mountain Brook. Some of you may know, some of you may not. We got kids from Hoover, Vestavia. We got kids from all over the country. But the majority of them are from Alabama because you know what? I'm not going to fly over a little girl being raped in Bessemer to go pick up a kid in Mississippi. We've helped start 42 other ranches around the country. I know geometric progression of growth, but here's what's happening. We all want to get up here. We all want to get to the top. So we play high school ball or we play whatever sport, or we choose not to play sports, but we go do something. Some of us play sports because our dads made us. Some of us love to hunt. Some of us don't do a lot of stuff. But there's got to be that first step. Then you get up to high school. Everybody's doing their thing, and you're trying to figure out your thing. And for those of you that chose to go to college, those of you that chose not to, whichever, you know, your choice is your choice. But let's just say you did. You went to college. That's your next level. Then you get married. Some of you have married and already crashed and burned. Your first marriage was in the toilet, and right now, your second one is too. But you don't want to be a two-time loser, so you are enduring your marriage instead of enjoying it or enriching it. Then you become a dad. Ding, 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 ding. Men, God holds you accountable for the spiritual health and wealth of your family. You're accountable, not your woman. That little boy, I meet your little boy. Who's the godless man you know? Sir, if your son names somebody else, you failed. Now, I never get invited back. Because you know why? I ain't got time to play. Some of you got sons right now, 15 years old. They're running with the wrong crowd. And you know it. And you are scared beyond words. Men, if you don't know your son's five best friends, you're too busy. Because next to you and your wife, those five best friends will make him the man he's going to be or the man he's not going to be. Some of your grandfathers, never underestimate the value of a godly grandfather. For me personally, I love my dad. Don't misunderstand me. He died recently, and I don't think I'm dogging my dad. But growing up for me, my grandfather was the man. Never heard him lose his temper. Never heard him say an ugly word about another human being. The most consistent man I've ever known. You show me a godly man, I'll show you a consistent man. Consistent. We did a thing the other day, and I had the administrative staff sitting around me. And we're already planning for the next 20, 30 years. We've already made all the changes. And I had everybody in the room go around, and I said, tell me what you learned from your dad that you wish you could transfer to your kids. And they were naming all stuff. And my daughter was in the room. And my daughter is in charge of all the children now. Every child that comes to Big Oak Ranch goes through her hands first. And then I get them. And she's the filter. She said, thanks, Dad. I'm the doo-doo filter of everything that you have to do that you don't want to do. But that's part of your job. Because one day you'll wear my shoes. And possibly Brody too. Who knows? But I said, you're exempt from this because I know there's thousands of things I taught you. I don't want you to spend the rest of the day telling everybody all the things I taught you. Anyway, and she said, when it's all over, she said, let me tell them one. She said, don't get too high. Don't get too low. Just get right here and make an impact. But with your life, you really got to stop and think. You're either going to impact your children, impress your children, or inspire your children. Because if you can inspire your child, you answer who you are, what you are, and why you're on earth because of the way you live in front of them on a daily basis. Guys, your son listens with his eyes. Your little dog, your little daughter, she's going to watch the way you treat her mama. Let's really cut to the chase. Like I say, I never get invited back. When you're dogging your wife or you're so PO'd at her you can't breathe and you're sitting there just simmering and you bark or say something ugly or are vicious or just brutally cold and empty and lifeless and your little girl's sitting there, she's going to think that's what she's supposed to be and that's what she's going to look for in her husband because she thinks that's the way it is. But you know what really is the killer? Let's say your little boy's sitting there watching you do that. And then he says something. Daddy, don't talk to mama like that. Shut up. And then the phone rings. And you pick the phone up. Hello? Well, hey, Tom. Yeah, I've been trying to reach you. And I'm really glad. I hope we can get together next week and talk about it. You just told your little boy that a complete stranger you've never met deserves more honor and respect than his mama does, and he will repeat history. There's four kinds of orphans. But before you get to the orphans, I want to read something to you. And I want to read it to make sure I don't mess it up. Jesus Christ gave these instructions. Quote, It's inevitable that stumbling blocks should come, but woe to him through whom they come. I want to read that again. It is inevitable that stumbling blocks will come, but woe to him who they come through. The next verse applies to pedophiles. I have seen every case of abuse you can see, and I do not say that with honor, or I do not say that with pride. I've held an 18-month-old baby raped by 5 men. I've got kids, as I mentioned, dipped in hot grease from the waist down. The list goes on of what I've seen. But that next verse, it would be better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and that he were thrown into the sea that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. Woe to you, Daddy. Woe to you if you are the stumbling block for your little boy. Woe to you if you're the stumbling block for your little girl. Woe. Woe is not a good thing. It ain't W-H-O-A. It's woe. W-O-E. It ain't going to be pretty. It's going to be ugly. The little steps we just went through, what if this one wasn't a good one? What if this one wasn't a good one? What if this one wasn't good? What if you're a 5-time loser in marriage, or you're married to the same woman, but your marriage is in the toilet, and you know it. You're miserable. Dear God, please just take her on home. If not, take me. And some of you say, well, I've never felt that way. Excuse me. We've all had those moments. We have all had those moments like, what if? Well, can I move forward? There's a what if here. There's 4 kinds of orphans. Physical orphan. A physical orphan is if you were raised by somebody other than your biological mother and father, you're a physical orphan. You don't understand. My grandfather was more man to me than my dad ever would be. That might be true. Or an uncle, or a neighbor, or a big brother. That may be true, but the fact still remains. You are a physical orphan. Mental orphan. See if this sounds familiar. Can't you do anything right? Are you always going to be a screw-up? Why can't you be like? Your whole life growing up as a young man was trying to prove your dad wrong. Your dad may be dead and gone right now, but you're still trying to prove him wrong. There was a day that your wife treated you with respect because of the man you were. But now she doesn't respect you because she's found out the man you are or are not. Our wives can cut us off from sex. They can cut us off. And you know what? We'll get through it. It ain't fun, but we'll get through it. But when your woman stops respecting you, we emotionally, mentally, spiritually are castrated. When they stop respecting you and me as men, even now, the ghost of I'm not measuring up. Every little boy, when he wakes up in the morning, whether he's 3 years old or he's 13 or 23, most all of them ask this question. It's got 2 parts to it. Do you really love me? And do I measure up as a man? Why do you think boys want to wrestle with us all the time? You know why? They want to see when they challenge the king. They want to find out when they can take over the pride, so to speak. I told Brody once, he was, about 13, 14, and he was feeding his oats, kind of. And I just looked at him, and I said, you know what? I said, you're in better shape than I am. And I said, you're quicker than I am. Said, but it don't take somebody in shape or quick to pull the trigger. Because I want him to know there ain't going to be but one bull in our barn. And he's now grown and gone, and he's the bull of his barn. Now you're saying, well, I just don't believe in that. There's a reason why God made bulls big. There's a reason why God made stallions. That's the reason why he made a male lion. Because we have a job to do. And if you were, let's just call it what it is, you were emotionally, mentally, inside, destroyed, dare I say castrated, you will reproduce it if you're not careful. Because you will repeat the cycle. The things you heard growing up, you will repeat to your son. Third orphan, emotional orphan. I'm so much older than everybody here, but my dad, my whole life, told me he loved me 5 times. I remember every one of them. Oh, he's a good provider. And he never missed, he missed, in my whole career, he missed 2 games. And there was a lot of them. But you know, I knew he loved me. He didn't have to tell me. And you're saying, well, he doesn't. It's important that the boy knows you love him and that he measures up. The key to it is kids got to know you love them and believe in them. I didn't say believe them. I said believe in them. Emotional orphan, some of you right now would give anything you own. If your dad had come home one day from work and just, hey, Billy, you want to play pitch? Some of you right now have got boys that give anything that they own that you'd have played pitch with them. But you can't go back and fix it, can you? Nope. Because if you're a physical, mental, or emotional orphan, it is set in stone. It cannot be erased. It is permanent. You can't change it. Fourth orphan, a spiritual orphan. We're all orphans. But the king said, I want you to be part of my family. And he pulls us in. Some of you right now have got grandchildren that you know if they were to die right now, they'd go straight to hell. And you are frozen in fear. Some of you right now have got sons that if I were to ask them, do you truly know Jesus Christ in your heart? They'd say, no. I've watched my dad. One boy got caught cheating at school, came home. Dad was ranting and raving. And he looked at him and he said, Dad, I cheat on my exam. That's true. But last night you and Mom were talking about how you could cheat the government on income tax. I thought it was okay. Your example outlives your advice, gentlemen. Talk's cheap. Brody plays in the NFL. You don't talk up there. Either you play for pay or you don't play. You have a choice on the fourth one, the spiritual orphan. But if you, sir, do not know Jesus Christ in a real personal way, and I didn't say go to church. I didn't say tithe, be a deacon, be a Sunday school teacher, go to Bible study. That's not what I said. Those are what you do. I'm talking about what you are. Because your kid doesn't give a rat's patootie about what you do. But they are eternally concerned with what you are. Because what you are will determine what you do. You know the neatest, that little piece you just saw? You know the neatest thing in the whole piece? 2 things. When my daughter said, we knew we had spots in our mom and dad's heart. We knew 100 kids were in there also. And the last thing, when Brody said, I just want somebody to say I'm a good man rather than a great football player. I can live with that. He's not going to play in the Super Bowl. But you know what? I was hunting with him yesterday in 5-star, and we were having a great time, and we were visiting, and he's getting ready to make some decisions about the rest of his life and his future and things of this nature. And I said, you got some big decisions. I said, you're 29 years old. You're debt-free. You owe no man anything. Everything you own is paid for. And you got X dollars in the bank. I said, you're doing pretty good. I said, ain't many 29-year-old kids can say that. He said, yeah. I said, but the decisions you're getting ready to make are life changers. I said, I'm going to give you three verses. Psalms 32:8, for I will counsel you with my eye upon you, and I'll show you the way to go. Proverbs 16:3, commit your works in the Lord, and your plans will be established. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. I said, that's all I want to tell you. He said, I got it. And I said, you ask for his guidance, he will direct your paths. Guys, your little boy is looking at you. Your little girl is dating right now. And there's some fool right now. There's some fool right now that's wanting to take your girl out this weekend. He's wanting to get lucky. And the stand she makes will be dependent upon the relationship she has with you. Every man in this room has been in the backseat of a car at one time or another with a girl. You've been there. It ain't changed. What we wanted at 18, they want at 18. And if you've got a 14-year-old girl and some 18-year-old boys want to take her out on a date, a man says, And your wife may say, well, honey, everybody, all her friends are. You look at your wife and say, I don't care what her friends are doing. Our little girl is not dating an 18-year-old boy. And you're saying, well, I can't stop it. Oh, yeah, you can. There's lots of ways to stop it. I got a friend that'll go see your boy. Just give me your name and number and his address. I'll take care of everything. But I want to back up to that. Whoa. Those of you that caused him to stumble. If you knew some of the things I've done in my life, you would go look at that guy over there and say, why'd you bring that fool in here? Don't be arrogant. You've got some of those stories too. But there's got to come that day. There's got to come that day. That we may have stumbled here. We may have stumbled here. We may have stumbled here. But we did not stumble here. Because you know what? We took an evaluation of our life. And we made up our minds. I'm not going to repeat history. I'm going to make a new history. Really boils down to, do you want to finish strong or not? Do you really want to finish strong? Some of you got, I talked to a guy, I think John Davis is going to have a baby, maybe today, who knows. When you got that little boy, he was an empty suitcase, and your job was to pack that suitcase for manhood. If you don't pack it, who is? Some of you grew up with John Wayne as a man's man. Some of you grew up with Sylvester Stallone, Rambo. Today's kids growing up with some vampire guy with white skin and fangs and a cut-off wife-beater T-shirt on Twilight. I have not seen the show. I've just seen the commercials, but that ain't my idea of manhood. Now, they told me, y'all are leaving in just a minute, and I don't want to be in here by myself. But I want to shift gears. We just talked about the four type of orphans. How do you keep from repeating history? Well, you have to have a manhood plan. Many of you lost a lot of money in the stock market in the last few years. What did you do when you knew things weren't going good? Did you say, well, whatever? Or did you sit down and get with somebody and sit down and talk about, what can we do? How can we stop the bleeding? You made a plan of how to stop it. Well, here's what I'd like to offer to you. We got another book coming out in a few months. And we had a meeting yesterday, and the publishers are doing all their stuff. And they said, what do you think? And I said, Exodus 14:14. You keep silent while the Lord fights the battle. So that's our approach. Just whatever. We're going to wait and listen and figure out what all the monies and all the things they're wanting to do and the movies and all stuff. Fine. Just sit back and wait. You cannot wait if you know your stock market is going in the toilet. You cannot wait when you know your son ain't going the right direction or your little girl's not going the right direction. Or you can't wait. It won't just fix itself. You've got an engine with a bad valve in it. Well, if I run it more and I drive faster, the valve will fix itself. I don't know much about machinery, but I know that ain't right. It's the same thing with your son. I want to give you the formula for manhood. And this formula, Brody was 13. I said, we're going to have a manhood trip. He said, we're not going out in the woods with a knife, are we? I said, no. He's seen too many National Geographic. I want to give you the formula of manhood, because here's the truth. We are raising a generation of wusses. If I were in a war and I had to pick one person on this earth to come get in the foxhole with me to fight to save my family, I would call my son, because you would have to kill him to get him out of the foxhole. He'd never run, and he wouldn't quit, and he would kill you if he thought you were trying to hurt his mama. Our daughter, I'd put her there too. We finished the last chapter of the book, and they interviewed her. They want to know about what they thought they'd learned about manhood. And she said, the girls at the ranch have never had a daddy stand up for them. They've never had a man say, you're mine. Ain't nobody going to hurt you anymore. And she said, I grew up with a daddy I knew would die for me. He trained my brother. And I know my brother would die for me. And she said, I'm now married to John David Phillips. He's a quarterback at Alabama several years ago. He said, I know my husband would die for me. I've got three little boys, and I know my husband is going to teach those three little boys to die for me. He said, just think, I got three men on this earth right now I know would die for me. Gentlemen, this is not about will you die for your family. This is will you live for them? Manhood. 4:55 on Saturday morning before we're supposed to leave for our trip. Voice spoke in my heart. Somebody said, oh, God was speaking to you. I don't know about that, but a voice spoke in my heart and said, get up. I thought it was my wife telling me what to do. And I got up. I went to the office. 4:55, the voice said, what do you want to teach your son about manhood? I've only had three times in my life that a voice has spoken inside of me. Two of them were on this day. What do you want to teach your boy about manhood? And I said, charge him. I want to charge him. C-H-A-R-G. You know, Christ-like heart, courage, heart for God, attitudes right. The voice, once again, simplicity, said, what do you want to teach him about manhood? The manhood formula, 15 seconds. M, your boy better know. And by the way, you're saying, well, I've only got daughters. You better teach your little girl what to look for in her future husband, because that fool's going to be at every Christmas party. He's going to be at every family reunion. I mean, our son, I love him. First time I met him, I looked at him, I said, you know what? I said, you ain't good enough, but you're the best we found. His parents hate that. M, master. Your boy and your daughter's choice for a husband in the future, who's their master? The choice of their master will be dependent upon the master they saw in you. If money, pride, anger, bitterness, frustrations, give-upness, the list goes on. If that's your master, they're going to have it. If you're a warrior, you'll produce one. If you're a man, you'll produce one. Because they will pick the master they saw you pick most of the time. But you know what? You know why most preachers' kids don't turn out so good? Because their daddy chose the congregation over his own family, and they hate God for it. You know what? Right. But the problem is God never called you to sacrifice your family at the altar of ministry. Never. And if you are so involved at your church that you're missing your little boy's T-ball game this afternoon, then, sir, you're too busy. There'll be another deacon's meeting or elders meeting, but there's only one time in your little boy's life he hits his first home run in T-ball. And you're not there because you're too busy at a church meeting, business meeting, or whatever. Guys, there's only that one time. You'll reproduce. Master. A, teach your little boy how to ask him and listen. I'm not talking about sitting down in prayer. Good food, good meat, getting late, let's eat. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, like right now, the economy. And let's say your job's in peril, or there's cutbacks, or you're really stretched, and you're working twice as hard for half the salary, or the market's hurt you so bad, or whatever. A real man calls his family in. He and his wife have already talked. You do not alarm the children. Don't misunderstand me. But you don't ever give them all the details either, but you always give them the details of where you go to the source. So take your wife and your children by the hand, your little boy's 12, your little girl's 8, and say, you know, the economy's really hard right now. I know you know that. And daddy's having to work real hard. Now, it's not going to affect our family, but you know what? We got to ask for God's blessings on our work. And your children see their father. Lord, job's really hurting right now. And I don't know what to do. I don't know, should I stay there? Should I get another job? I don't know what to do, but Lord, you promised you would guide me. And as your son, I ask you as my heavenly father to show me the way. Just think what you taught your little boy. You taught your little boy, come hell or high water, he knows where to go for the source of the answer because he saw you do it by teaching your son how to ask him and listen. In, never compromise. Never compromise. The price you pay for compromise is not worth the results. I'm getting ready to make a lot of people mad, but it won't be my first time. Little boy came up to see me. His back was bloody where he'd been beaten with a rebar. And I said, what happened? And he said, my dad got mad. And I said, what'd you do? He said, I smarted off. I said, what'd you say? He said, well, my dad caught me with some marijuana, and he was tearing me a new one. And I said, what did you say? He said, well, Dad, I smoke my dope and you drink yours. What's the difference? The dad said, well, I'm an adult. That's bull manure. They follow your example. So if you smoke, don't get on to them for smoking. If you drink, don't get on to them for drinking. If you cuss, don't get on to them for cussing. If you cheat on your ex, don't worry about them cheating on tests because they will. They watch with their eyes. Never compromise. I've compromised. Perhaps you have too. It ain't worth what you get out of it. 8, teach your boy how to handle business. Give him a credit card. You're going, what? Give him a credit card. Put X dollars on that credit card for the month of March. And I guarantee you, it only takes one time for him to take that credit card and hand it to somebody in front of his girlfriend or his buddies, and they come back and say, sorry, sir, insufficient funds. Your card's been rejected. It only takes one time of that embarrassment. Because you know what? From then on, he'll make sure there's money in that account. And you say, well, you just don't understand my boy. I've raised 1,900 of your boys. I got the general. We don't give our kids cars. We make them buy their cars. We got 22 kids this year getting cars. We've had 8 weddings the last year and a half. I understand life. A man's experience is never at the mercy of a man with the argument. Handle business? Let me add this. I tell the boys, there'll be a day you're at a bar, a restaurant, dorm room, there's going to be 4 guys there, 4 girls, y'all sitting around just chewing the fat, just a little group thing. Well, my dad gave me a Lexus. Well, my dad gave me a Hummer. My dad gave me a Dodge truck. What'd you do? Well, when I was 14, I started working. I lived at a ranch, and I started working, and I saved my money for 2 years. And then when I was 16, I went and bought my car, and it had my name on the title. As a matter of fact, just last week, I traded for another one. By the way, it's got my name on the title, too. I tell the boys, there's going to be 4 girls sitting there. 3 of those girls will chase the money, but there's going to be 1 girl going, you're different. And I tell the boys, that is the girl that's going to be a great woman, going to be a great wife, and a great mama to your little boy. And she'll never quit on you because she chased you, not an image. Teach your boy how to handle business. Brody told the Miami Dolphins no on a contract deal they offered to him. And I said, you turned down millions of dollars because of, and he told me the reason why. And I said, God, there ain't many people do that. He said, would you? I said, I'd have to think about it. They lied. He said, I didn't want to play for them. So he'd rather retire than play for a liar. I said, I respect your business acumen. He said, my business what? I said, you're a good businessman. He got, his mama teaches calculus. Enough said. I tutor her more advanced students when they're getting ready to take the test. Don't laugh. Some of y'all are just dumb as I am. O, M-A-N-H-O, one purpose. Teach your boy. He has one purpose. 2 Corinthians 5:9, let this be our one ambition, whether home or absent, be pleasing unto him. If you raise a little boy that's pleasing to God, it's because he saw a daddy that was pleasing to God. When your little girl marries a godly young man, it's going to be because she saw godliness in her father. It's never too late. Guys, I've been in the hospital and pulled a plug on a 19-year-old kid more than once. That's not fun. And I hold the little girl's hand, and her sister's got the other hand because the parents didn't even show up. And I have watched her quit breathing right over here at Caraway. It ain't fun. But you know what? That's the only time it's too late. When you or your child is in the casket, that's the only time it's too late. And when Satan tells you it's too late, you look him in the eyes and say, heck no. It's not too late. Because Jesus is in the recovery business and you're his envoy. Second O, one body. You teach your little boy, he has one body. The whole time Brody's growing up, I'd pray and ask God to protect his heart. I'd put my hand on my little boy's heart, and Reagan the same way. I'd put my hand on her heart and say, Lord, protect my little girl's heart. She had 3 dates in high school. I got her 2 of them. I ran everybody else off. One body. Don't you give it away to anything, any drug, any alcohol, performance enhancing, anything. Don't. You got one body. Take care of it. M-A-N-H-O-O-D. Don't ever, 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 ever give up. And if you've given up, sir, be a man. And say, enough of this. Enough of me choosing to lose. You can't go back and fix this. You can't go back and fix this. But you can fix. If you're not the godliest man your woman knows, and you're not the godliest man your little boy knows, and you're not the godliest woman, the godliest man that your little girl knows, you can fix that because you made a choice. I want to close with 2 things, if you don't mind. I know I'm running over, and I hope it's okay. I want to show you something. If I can't back up what I'm saying, then 37 years of this means nothing. We're getting ready to have our 40th anniversary in obviously 2.5 years. We've already started working on it. We're going to try to have all 2,000 kids come back. And we want them to bring their wives and their children. We're going to have 20 4x8 pieces of plywood with black felt on them. And we're going to have 1970, 80s, 90s, 2000s. And we're going to have every picture we can find of every kid. And I want them to come back with their wife or husband or children. Say, this is Daddy when he lived here in 1978. And I get to meet a lot of kids that used to live with us that are now out and grown. And they'll walk up, and the little kids say, you him? And I say, what? And they say, you him? You that man my daddy told me about? I said, I sure hope so. She said, oh, he didn't like you. It's not always a popularity contest, but manhood sometimes isn't. If you're worried about being liked, then we've wasted our time today. If you're really concerned about being respected, then I want to show you something. I want to show you 24 kids. Every kid you're getting ready to see has either been raped, beaten, abused, or neglected. Every one of them. And I want you to look at the first picture, and I want you to look at their eyes, and I want you to realize that could be your little boy. That could be your little girl. And you're saying, well, no, 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 no. Can I tell you something? There's something worse than being raped. As a 4 or 5, 6-year-old little girl. There's something worse. That's knowing that your dad let it go on. He didn't do one thing to stop it. Now take that and apply it to the spiritual life you are giving your son and your daughter. That's even worse. They'll get over being a physical, mental, and emotional orphan, but eternity dictates they'll never get over you not being the godliest man that your little boy and your little girl knows. Then I want you to look at how their faces change. I want you to look at what happened. Something happened. If you would, let's watch this, then I'll close.
It wasn't supposed to be like this. Families weren't supposed to fall apart. Mamas and daddies aren't supposed to quit. Children are not supposed to be left at a stranger's door. Because of bad decisions, all of our children needed a chance, a place to call home. Here's a proof that your love and support is making a real difference in real children's lives.
Thank you.
children who call Big Oak Ranch their home, thank you.
There is not one difference between my children and yours. Not one. Except you're going to have to compete against one of my kids for a job one day. Your kid is. And if you don't prepare your kid, my kid's going to whoop your kid. But I close with this. How do I know this works? Yesterday, two sisters came to see me. They're now 23 and 21. They were up there in the video. 8.5 years ago, their sister brought them to us. And I said, how y'all doing? And every child's heard the same four promises. I love you. I'll never lie to you. I'll stick with you till you're grown. There's boundaries. Don't cross them. Now, what do you want? The oldest one said, I'm 15 years old. I can't read. I said, how have you made it? She said, I stand next in line at McDonald's to kids who could read. And I would watch them and I would listen. And they would say, I want number three. And I didn't know what it was. I said, well, I'll take number three too. And that's how they survived. And I said, sweetheart, it ain't up to me. I'm not giving you a thing. You got to earn it. She started working. She was 15 years old in the first grade. She started busting her hiney. When she, 4 years later, she covered all those grades and she graduated from high school at 19. 8 weeks ago, she walked across the stage at Auburn and got her diploma, 3.75 GPA in communications. And yesterday, she went to Rick and Bubba applying for a job. She came to see me yesterday, tell me, I used your name. I said, I figured you would. But the point is, she's going to make it because someone believed. We've taught her this manhood principle. She's now looking for that guy. The guy she's dating right now, I told her he ain't the one. She said, you sure? I said, I'm real sure. She said, well, let's talk about it. So we're still talking about it. And remember our friend I told you about? He's going to visit him soon. Sorry. But guys, can we close my part in a word of prayer and I'll turn it back over. Bow your heads, please, and close your eyes. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to ask you to do me a favor. If you're like me and you need to make some changes, would you just raise your face and look at me and put your head right back down? Thanks. Thanks. We're in this thing together, guys. I appreciate your honesty. It ain't easy, is it? Oh, God, it ain't easy. It ain't easy. But you know what is easy? Please bear with me as I pray. I do not mean what I say in the future with disrespect. My King, my Lord Jesus Christ, my dad, I've not been a good son. I've embarrassed your name. I've not been a good husband. I've not been the best dad. Lord, I've just kind of got my priorities all screwed up. But Lord, this day, I claim the verse that you said, if I had a humble and contrite heart, you would in no wise cast me out. So as the son of a king, I come to you with my hat in my hand and tell you I'm sorry. I ask you to cleanse me. I ask you to change me. Lord, I'm not asking you to take my wife. I'm not asking you to change my wife. I'm not asking you to change my son, change my daughter. God, I'm starting with me. I ask you to change me. Make me a better man, husband, and father. I don't want to repeat history. I want to break the cycle. Lord, let me be a great man and a great dad and a great grandfather. Let me be somebody that my friend would choose to go into battle. Lord, I want to be all these things, but I don't know how. Show me your way in Christ's name. Amen. Guys, as he comes, I promise you, God said, you're my boy. You're my son. I will never get mad at you. I will never betray you. I will never quit on you. Just come home. Some of you have never had that home. Some of you have had, but you've gotten away from it. As brothers, let's go home. Because home's a great place to be when you're in trouble. So if you just pray with me, go home. Make things right with your God. Make things right with the man in the mirror. Make things right with that woman you call your wife. And make things right with your children. And I guarantee you, tomorrow morning when you wake up, you will be a different man. Because you will see differently because the crap's out of your eyes. And you can see clearly. I promise you, it works.